Please go ahead.
And there you have it. Okay, so the purpose of the call, and I first just want to thank Kevin Wilson for making himself available for the call, was to offer the CC community the opportunity to talk to Kevin directly about the operational plan, any of the elements contained within it, and to review or talk about any of the materials that the committee has put forward thus far. So I guess there's only a few of us on the call, and primarily those who've actually worked on it and been thinking about the issue thus far. Initially, the call was really designed to provide those who maybe weren't quite as familiar with it the opportunity to question Kevin. So at this point, it would strike me that it's probably going to be a relatively brief call, but in the interest of still having a good call, I just wanted to first allow any opening comments by any of the folks on the call thus far. Everybody received the material that the committee put forward, I assume?
Yes.
Okay, I think, Leslie, it's just you and I from the committee at this point, right?
Okay, yeah.
The materials are posted online as well.
Right.
Yeah, I'm aware it's been circulated, so I'm not responding just on my own, but I saw some people the other day that mentioned that.
Okay, yeah, because it is on the website. It did get posted to the various lists, so I certainly believe it's out there in the community. Yes?
I was thinking, this is Kevin Wilson. I was thinking maybe, did I just hear it's just Leslie and...
Yes.
And did I hear Peter's on the call as well or not?
He was supposed to be. He confirmed, but he's not at this time.
Okay. My suggestion, since this is being recorded, well, I'll throw it out there and see if you think this is a good idea, if Gabby sends out the link or whoever sends the link to the recording, that you link to the presentation that was done in Mexico City. I think you heard it two or three times, actually, on the formalized presentation that walks people through. So if they're new to the process, they can hear that, you know, the process of the development of it and then the thoughts on how to actually come up with that and then indicate that for people that are familiar with it. I don't want to put the two of you to sleep. I'm thinking it's probably not wise to put the two of you to sleep.
Although it might be desirable, right?
Yeah, some people might disagree with that. But and instead, I could give a brief high-level overview on where we are and where we've come since we've last spoken, and then I invited Kurt to come on because some of the questions are more operational in nature, and I thought maybe we could at least give you an update on where our thoughts are on some of the operational issues that you have.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. So, Gabby, can you make that document available, which, just to make sure that we're talking about the same one, it's titled The Initial Consultation, Proposed Framework for FY10 Operating Plan and Budget.
Are you referring to the presentation given in Mexico?
That's
or
right.
Are you... Okay, I'll send that out.
And in the presentation, it was very much a condensed version. I think for this purpose, probably the more fulsome one, which was a 28-page version, was probably the appropriate one.
Yeah, that, I was referring to the public presentation, not the one just to the CCNSO or even to the CCNSO-SOP. And all I remember, Gabby, it was the morning after the gala. I can send you the link to it.
So it is, Kevin, this is Bart, so it is available somewhere in the ICANN website.
Yeah, and I was thinking, Gabby, I'll send you the link to it.
Yeah, and so what we could do is, Gabby, is include a link on the working group page. And that should
I'll
be
do
it.
That, yes.
That's
I'll
the
that
easiest
too.
One, so they have an overview of that presentation.
Okay, I'll do that.
So let's, that's a good idea, we'll do that, and any further discussion about the logistics, let's take that offline.
Yeah. And what I'll do as well, for Kurt and Kevin, we'll get you a link to this particular working group, so you can, whenever you feel a need to it, you can have a look at it, what the current status is of their activities.
Great.
So, Kevin, maybe in the intervening roughly two months since that has happened, I presume this has been a relative focus of your attention in continuing to evolve the plan. Could you give us a status update on where you are today versus then, and any material changes or other changes that you think are worthy of note?
Sure. Yeah. Thank you. I pulled open the slides from the Mexico City meeting just in case the more elementary meeting. So I have it open. I'm looking at the overview page, which is slide three, and we believe that we're the next draft of the operating plan and budget, which by bylaw is required to be posted by May 17th. We believe that we're, after community consultation and scrubbing the numbers internally, we believe that we'll still maintain the 4.9% growth, roughly close to that growth rate that we've discussed in Mexico City with you. So, and that's once again reflecting that most of the departments and efforts are reaching operational maturity and there's still some pressure in certain areas that we believe that the community is asking us to focus our energy and continue the growth on that. So the main story is that things are as we thought that at that time. There has been a couple of changes that have happened, and most of that has been generated some with our staff work internally and scrubbing numbers and looking at estimates and a little more closely. Some of it is based on the feedback we received on the community consultations. I think we've met with there's one more ALAC group regional call tomorrow, or it's actually tonight my time. But other than that, I think I've had conference calls like this with most of the constituencies and stakeholder groups that have requested comments. So, and we're happy to see more and more feedback and consultation in the process. So that's good. So it seems like it's becoming more and more of a community consultation budget and framework. And as I mentioned, we're driving to complete that by the 17th of May, the draft document, which I think will reflect, other than a couple changes, which I'll talk about in a second, will reflect what you've already seen with the about 5% growth in operating expenses.
Are there any material changes that have already come about as a result of that input and feedback?
Yeah, a couple of them. A couple of them material to me. I think it will be for the community as well. Probably the largest is the revenue assumptions. There's two assumptions that we're looking at a little more closely and scrubbing some of the numbers. One is the transaction volume forecast. So since Mexico City, we've received another quarter of transaction volume from the registries, and we're getting ready to build our accredited registrars shortly. Based on that, and the numbers from our second quarter, the October to December, were down significantly from the forecast, and the first quarter also were less than what we had budgeted last year. They did grow over the second quarter, but they're still lower. So we've upped the numbers. What's the revenue stream? So I think maybe $1.5 million less revenue from the registrars.
In what period?
For to be used for our budget for FY10. Okay. So that's one change that we're looking at. How does that affect the the budget. And then the other area is the registrars and others have asked us to reduce the registrar transaction fee. And so we're discussing ways to do that and have possibly have a incentive associated with hopefully coming up RAA amendment, and have some sort of incentive to agree to that RAA amendment with the registrar transaction fee and variable fee reductions. So we're looking at those are two pressures on revenue. So the combined of those two could be several $1 million, maybe $3 million.
So for the proposed FY10 budget, where revenue is $67.6 million,
it could be closer to 64.
Again. 64, and you think that change, what I just heard there, is it's pretty much all going to come out of the registrar revenue line item?
Right. Right.
Any other changes on revenue, or is it strictly out of the RAR?
One of them, as you know, we're projecting for the budget in the framework, it was a $2.3 million from the CC community.
Uh-huh.
So we were, I was hoping on this call or to get some kind of feedback from the DC group on whether that's a good number to use for the figure 10 number. I haven't heard, I don't think you've commented directly, and I haven't heard too much other than I've seen the revenue numbers for the fiscal year 09 number, and they're significantly less than what we budgeted. So that needs to be synthesized and talked about. I'd love to get your feedback on what you think we should project for that, so that we have the appropriate number in the draft budget.
Okay, well, it's a little outside the scope of this particular committee, but certainly, offline we could chat about it.
Okay, good. And then those are the revenue pressures. The cost pressures, as you know, one of the common themes that we've been asking over and over is we want to be as fiscally conservative as possible. We've been hearing from the community for 10 years that there's a request for us to do more and more. And especially given the financial climate, world economic climate, we thought that we needed to rein that in as much as possible and look for ways to cut costs. To be honest, we have not received too many suggestions on how to reduce or defer services or some of the functions that I can perform. Well, I'm actually in a hotel. Hold on one second. Hello? I'll have to call you back. No idea who that was. So we haven't received too many comments. I don't think we've received any specific comments on how to defer or cut costs. So that's an update on that. And then we have received a fair amount of suggestions on how to services or resources required for additional above and beyond the budget. So we're synthesizing that. The most significant one is travel support. So I think the ALAC, GAC, and GNSO have all made specific requests for increased travel support, and so we're trying to synthesize that. So that's the operating expense pressure, and then I think probably we'll the way this will come out by the 17th of May draft, we'll still have a few more meetings and discussions on how to synthesize those comments. But my guess is right now is it'll come in something along the lines of the reduced revenue would be offset by a less contribution to the reserve fund and less contingency that we do that. Although we do have to, there's some folks, especially on the finance committee, that feel that we should be more conservative. So we still have some work to do. We'd love to get your feedback on that equation as well. But I wanted to share with you at least my thoughts on as we're developing towards ICANN's thoughts on what the next.
Jimmy, if I could just ask you, I don't know the answer to this question, but are there specific requirements around funding the reserve contingency?
Well, the strategic plan calls for building up to 1 year of operating expenses within 3 to 5 years.
Right.
And so we've translated that as we need to put in $10 million per year to budget for that. And last year we budgeted $2.5 million, and we're probably going to actually contribute about $7 million, largely because we've underspent from our budget due to delays and such. And so that's why we used 7.5. So the underlying assumption was it's better. Our budget contributes more to the reserve fund than last year, but not as much as called for in the strategic plan, and we'll work towards that. And with the new GTLD program, the thought would be that by the time that is, the part of the application fee is to replenish the reserve fund to the extent that there were shortfalls on the contribution. So the thought was that we'd be pretty much on track within a couple of years on replenishing the reserve fund.
Okay.
So that's a quick update on the overall budget and operating plan. So
now, within you've indicated that the operating total expenses you still expect to be about $54 million or 5% growth vis-a-vis last year in total. Now, within it, have there been any material shifts or resetting of expenses? Or even though if $54 million is relatively the same, are all of the 15 line items also relatively the same?
I think they're right now. My we still have more work to do to answer that question definitively. But my guess is the draft will have a bit more in travel support to respond to some of those strong requests to get the work done. I mean, you understand that it's not a. I just want to make it clear that those travel requests are based on pretty well thought out concepts that to get the work done and to get the policy work done. The policy making bodies, they need to have face to face meetings, and they need public support, or they need ICANN travel support. So my guess is that will increase by some. And we're looking at various ways at delaying some of the costs. Doing some of the new hires, that sort of thing, in order to make that. So we'll have to squeeze it in some of the other line items.
Okay. Just a couple more questions on some of the main line items. Two stand out to me, and while they weren't ones that we as a committee specifically elected to discuss, I can't help but just I want to get your sense of them based on the number. Contractual compliance and admin improvement. One's the first showing a 31% increase, and the latter a 28% increase in expense. Fairly administrative in nature, although contractual compliance may be more than just that. Can you give us any insight on why those admin type activities are increasing so significantly and disproportionately with the overall budget increase?
Yeah, so that kind of ties to the other change that you'll see in the draft document on really format issues. I'm going to get to your question, but I wanted to make that point at the same time as a slight preamble to answer your question. So one of the common themes we've heard, and even from the CCNSO, is that we like the functional reporting that's in the that's shown in the framework, and it's also shown on our dashboard. That's fairly responsive to what the community wants to see, how they want to see our budget presented. But we want more. That was the overriding theme. We want to know how much do you spend for the C's, how much do you spend for the G's, how much do you spend for security in a little bit more detail, how much, that sort of thing. And so you'll see more in-depth analysis on that shortly as well. So I wanted to communicate that as well. So to answer a little, and then one the other thing is there'll be some cleanup on some of the formatting. I think also the so there'll be some cleanup on the formatting. The administrative.
When do you expect to be able to provide that additional level of detail?
Certainly it will be included in the 17th of May draft.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's thought. Kurt, are you still on the line?
Who, me?
Very good. No, I'm on the line.
Okay, great. I'm not sure when that separate communication would happen on the cost analysis. I thought maybe you'd have a feeling for it, but my guess is in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's right. There'll be a report on that cost analysis along with some other aspects of that helps inform the IDN CPTLD process somewhat. So, you know, there'll be a set of documents released at the same time having to do with that.
Okay.
So, and then, so to answer the question on administrative improvements, that really had to do with the way the functional reporting was done. So it really wasn't a 28% increase in resources. It had more to do with the way we allocated last year's budget. In hindsight, we changed the methodology, as you know, because the functional reporting started this year. And so that error will be corrected. That presentation error of the FY09 budget would be corrected in the next draft. So
you're blaming it on a presentation error.
The percentage increase is an error. So in my sheet here that you have little red dots on, the blue column I feel comfortable with. We'll update that, as I said before, with the travel support and squeeze it from other areas. But the FY09 budget, I'm going to say yes, was a presentation error, and we'll fix that. It had to do with people moving from one department to another, and you didn't catch that in the draft. So apologies for that. I know I got my quota of errors now for the year, so I'm complete.
Okay.
I'm complete on errors. And then on contractual compliance, I've heard nothing but support on these calls for increase in the contractual compliance area, particularly building out the staff under David Giza and Kurt to enforce those contracts.
Kevin, how does that fit with the prospective reduction in the registrar transaction fee that you were referring to earlier, though? Because surely that's increasing cost in that area.
I see the Kurt. You can jump in and direct it. I don't see that as a direct connection, but I know that the contractual compliance. My sense is from the feedback that I've received on the growth and the contractual compliance, as a perception that's really good for the internet overall.
Absolutely, I'm agreeing with you. I thought the contractual compliance was around the whole registrar compliance. Therefore, maybe I'm making the wrong connection, but you were talking earlier about the registrar wanting a reduction in transaction fees.
Right. Yeah. So that's a trade-off. I didn't quite see that as a direct connection to contractual compliance. So I saw that as ICANN's reaching operation maturity, and that we're.
Well, I understand that, but contractual compliance was regarding registrar contracts, or have I got the wrong end of the
stick? It regards both GTLD registrar and registry contracts.
Okay, so it is an element of that, in effect.
Yeah, right, yeah. And the registrars, I think, contribute about 40% of the budget or something like that, so the percentage is still, you know, far in excess of the contribution is still far in excess of the support they get, and then also less so this year, but over the past few years the per transaction fee has gone down because the transaction volumes go up, so in fact the revenue from registrars goes up.
Absolutely, but as we all know, the reverse may well take place over the duration of the recession.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's what we're trying to, you know, Kevin gave you the latest forecast with regard to revenue based on reduction in transactions. One of the things we're also considering is only reducing, you may know that there's a new form of the registrar accreditation agreement that gives ICANN greater compliance tools and provides some protection for registrants on the GTLD side. And there's a weird mechanism for making that effective. The new RAA wouldn't be effective until the old ones expire in their five-year agreement, so they'd expire over time. Mm-hmm. So we're thinking of offering, you know, a fee incentive, only reducing the fee for those registrars that adopt the new form of the RAA right away instead of waiting for the expiration date.
Understood. I mean, I just reflecting from a registry point of view, I think there is widespread support for contractual compliance, particularly when it's from the point of view of an end user interest or an end user need. I think the difficulty, of course, is putting in the structures to enable that aren't easy to vary when the volumes change. So in effect, you're building in the cost of that without the cost reducing if the volumes change in a market way, which is a potential issue for many of us.
That's right.
Right. We'll have to look at that. Yeah.
I mean, I think that's always I think Leslie's raised a good point, which is always going to be the case. I mean, what we are what you're contemplating is an ongoing obligation of increased cost against a variable revenue stream, and right now, at least in the short term, is headed in the wrong direction, which maybe is which I think is certainly a very valid point. And maybe I'll use that as a segue to build on that a little bit, which is just your sense of revenue declines versus your expense obligations here. You've just done the napkin math. You've said about 5% decline in revenue is anticipated, sort of $3 million on 64.
So
yeah. Round numbers without breaking out the calculator. No real adjustments on the expense side, other than to say that contingency funding will be the sponge that absorbs that.
Yeah, and I add that's really my thought. I have to socialize that with the board and finance committee, who you know we developed that over several years. So
let me ask you, Kevin, as the head of finance. At what point, where do you start to get nervous and say, you know what, 5%, we can soak that up, no change, full speed ahead. Where do you get nervous on revenue and say, you know what, we really need to start making some changes to the expense side? And the follow-on question to that is, in your contingency planning, what would be your go-to elements should the recession continue to deepen and have a greater impact?
Yeah, so let me just telegraph, obviously, the revenue, I still believe, and I don't think this is controversial, the revenue stream is still stable and coming in. It's not like, you know, other businesses or not-for-profits that are relying on, you know, pure voluntary fundraising, that kind of thing, so... So I still feel like it's a stable, secure, you know, model from that standpoint. That being said, I think our entire expense management has shown steady improvement in controls. We have a disbursement policy that was passed last year, I believe, and was. And it's fully operational now and pushed out to the, you know, detailed desk procedure level. We're continuing to work on procurement programs, in particular the new GTLD program, which is talking about spending, you know, a lot of money on panels and that sort of thing. We're getting operationally ready for those kinds of expenses. And then we have a more effective board finance committee and board process that allows us to adjust things. And then the hiring ramp standpoint, folks like Kurt and Doug and others that are in key decision making process have a faster feedback loop so that we're not waiting for the annual budget process to address those issues. So those are some kind of quick off the cuff questions. I think those are really valid questions that I think all three of us have lived for many years in those kinds of environments where we have to manage those processes. So I feel a lot better. I have ideas and many of them borrowed from our conversations as well with the two of you on how to improve that even further. And so we'd like to continue that process of getting that process so that we adjust our expenses to the revenue and don't overcome.
Do you feel, and this is probably a bit of a follow into the conversation I think you and I and Leslie had about the financial systems you have. Do you feel that the financial systems you have give you the level of information at the speed that you need it to be able to make, course corrections? And I say that because I, as a registry, I believe too that I have relatively stable revenue streams. On the other hand, greater minds than mine at the finance department in Canada thought we were going to have a break-even budget not more than 5 months ago, and now it's a $40 billion deficit. So while that's
right,
very different than our business, the fact is what seems reasonable has been changing dramatically under our feet across all industries, and I think we would be remiss if we didn't at least have a plan,
right,
to be able to react if things don't go as we think. So I just want to make sure that you're confident that you have the systems in place to give you the guidance and information required that you can make changes during the course of the year,
right,
and adapt to any changes in revenue.
Yeah, it's a great question. So certainly I could always think of ways that I'd love to get better systems, better reporting, and better feedback and better procurement processes. But to answer your question, yes, I feel very confident that we, our monthly overall reporting and cash flow reporting, I'm not concerned about the overall theme that I can financially secure and well. I think there are some initiatives afoot, as we've talked about, that we really need to get our cost accounting reporting and feedback system up before the new GTLD launch, particularly to make sure that we're reporting back and the community feels very comfortable that they're able to see it. It's kind of like we're talking about the functional reporting and the next level of detail. We need to make sure we get that feedback loop going in so the community can see that and make sure that our priorities are straight and feel confident, as we do internally, that we're procuring efficiently. So that question is off the table, and people know that we're buying things for the right price, and then have the more healthy discussion: are we prioritizing our spending appropriately?
One other point I'd like to make, if you don't mind, Mr. Kurt, is that, and I'm sure you know this, but we receive monthly reports from each of the registries with data 2 to 3 weeks after the close of each month, so that if there's a market downturn in potential revenue, we get at least monthly, monthly advisories that might be coming. And we also have discussions with the registry, so they can advise us of their forecasts. And then finally, even the small increases in this budget are not all front-loaded. In other words, they don't all take place right at the start of the budget year, so that if there were downturns, the first step would be to, before cutting, would be to put off some of the increased spending. So, we'd have an opportunity to do that as the year went on.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Good.
While we're not necessarily, we don't have a focus on what's happening with the new GTLDs, I ask only in that, how does the changing landscape of the new GTLD environment, is that impacting all of the other elements in any way? How do you see that impacting if it gets pushed out further? Any impacts that we should be worried about on the other business, let's say, for lack of a better term right now?
Well, certainly the timing of the new GTLD is such a large project and is a big issue for ICANN. We've kind of made, from a finance and operations planning standpoint, probably the most intelligent, I won't take credit for it, but the most intelligent thing we've done is this concept of a separate budget amendment. So that kind of takes off the table on creating a very large revenue stream and trying to estimate it without perfect information and potentially very large application processing cost outflow. And we don't have to have that hard discussion right now until we're approximately 90 days before we believe the launch would be. So that's the short answer. We've earmarked it. We've analyzed it. We've analyzed it offline a lot. We're analyzing it more offline, and that's how we've handled that. So from the topic of this conversation and getting the current FY10 proposal up to a place where it's ready for the board to do its final review and approval and at the Sydney meeting, I think the answer is no. I think we've taken that off the table. Certainly, it's very dominant in front and one of the most predominant issues for the ICANN community. So from that standpoint, sure, it has a big impact. But from the impact on the current budget, not super significant. If for example it was delayed, X months or accelerated X months, it wouldn't have that much of an impact on this budget.
Okay.
It would on the amendment, of course. Yeah.
Sure. We've spoken a fair amount about the budget and the money. Leslie, before we move on more to some of the operational elements, were there any other questions you...
No, I think there's a bit of a danger that we're straying beyond our role as a committee, but it's, as you'll appreciate, Kevin and Kurt, this is an area of interest to both of us, and we're trying to make supportive stroke constructive comments.
Not
to focus on the money, but it often helps inform the overall story. So in terms of the operational elements that we've elected to focus on, as you know, there are five of the 15 operational elements identified in your the ICANN operating plan. We've elected to focus on five that we think and feedback we received from the community believe are most relevant to the community. Certainly all of them are no doubt relevant in some way, but the five that we've selected are around the IDN implementation, IANA, SSR, policy development, and DNS operations. And those are primarily the ones that we've asked the community to think about and focus on, although certainly in any messaging we've encouraged them to think about any of the items there. But moving into those, I guess one question I had just in general, as somebody who has to, dream up and create ops plans, any ops plan that has 15 core elements, that's a pretty broad subset. Do you really think that an operating plan with that number of them has the focus that the operating plan should have, and are you really going to be able to actually operationalize all of those elements?
I think the short answer is yes, and I'm happy to hear that you think it's maybe too many, because I keep on hearing the comment too. Well, can you break it down to a finer granularity? And it goes back to do you want an ID to our system to give you the reports directly? But seriously though, I think the short answer is yeah. I think we have enough. A number of those are kind of the train is running on time. four or five of them are just really carry over, and we just have them there just because we've heard the community wants to know how much we're spending for the board or how much we're spending for travel support. But they really, you know, obviously they don't take a whole lot of management time to in terms of initiatives or changes and those things. It's pretty much just book the travel and make sure that people are clear, you know, on what they need to do.
Now, do you have for the elements in here, and then, you know, I thought it was helpful in the ICANN Ops plan that as part of the I think appendix, you drilled down into each of them and gave more detail, which is certainly very helpful. In terms of the level of detail associated with some of these, one of the challenges I had is there were a lot of, you know, descriptive words and adjectives in the detail. Are you at a point where you have specific success metrics? Like, how do we know you succeeded here? We look back, we have this conversation next year, and I look back at your detail on SSR, and I look at, you know, works collaboratively with other, you know, relevant players, et cetera, those kinds of words. How do you know you've actually achieved the objective, and is there or are there specific success metrics that are associated with these so that we as a community and you as the operators know you've achieved what you set out to?
I'll jump in.
And if so, can you share them?
Yeah, that's the other format change I forgot to mention that I'll see in the draft document that's coming. But we'd obviously like to get feedback on that specifically. But the short answer is it's evolving. It seems to be even since I've been here for almost 2 years now. That question that you're asking, which is true for every organization, at least that I've been involved with or heard about, is getting better and better and better. So we now break that down into trimesters, and individuals have specific goals that are measurable, SMART goals, you know, measurable, and it's always hard to measure, and there's always a risk if you measure it too finely, then you miss the purpose, right? So if you said, hey, we're going to make 25 phone calls to collaborate on internet security, that doesn't really answer the question of what the initiative's trying to grab. On the other hand, if you just say we're going to collaborate more, that addresses your point of it's such a vague concept that you really don't know if you've achieved it. So we're getting better at that, and I think you'll be pleased with the progress as it goes forward. But if you have any specific suggestions on things that you would really like to get measurable, then I think that would be helpful for us to drill down on that. But point well taken.
Okay, I certainly agree with your point that, detail can become meaningless if it's too much at this level. And it's not that I want to monitor everything you do, but I think, you know, for any one of these 15, are there a couple of metrics that set yourself up for success too, right? In the following year, you...
Hello?
Byron?
Byron?
Sorry, I lost you there.
Yeah, you dropped off.
Is everybody still there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That you can point back and say, you know, SSR, we had these two key metrics, and look, we made it, great. We didn't, there's work to do, et cetera. So I would, as a suggestion, not that everyone has to have, not that every line item in your detail needs a metric, but one or two would be helpful on each of the categories.
Yep. What you're saying is consistent with what we're saying internally and what we've heard from the board. So good point, well taken. And I think the answer is you'll see steady improvement in that process of metrics and reporting back on how well we did and giving the evaluation of how we did did we achieve what we said we were going to set out
right.
to achieve.
Okay.
Should we spend, especially since Kurt's on the line, I think he might have a limited time.
Mm-hmm.
Can we dive into some of the specific questions that you have on the budget and impacts on the operating plan questions?
Sure. Leslie, did you have any comments?
No.
Or?
No, it's a shame we haven't got anyone else from the community on, actually. I mean, I kind of feel as though I've done this to death a bit. So, no, I'm fine. I've got nothing remaining to ask.
Okay. Then I really just wanted to ask probably one around the DNS. I was curious. You talked about a specific team that was going to be formed, a new research team. I was wondering if you could provide a little more detail on that, and I guess I ask in light of the fact that there was only really a $227,000 increase in DNS operations, and from what I know, when in my world, DNS or research teams don't come cheap, and I was wondering, you know, if you could square that circle for me, and is that enough money to do it? And I guess that really comes down to, what is that team going to be doing, and what's envisioned there?
Yeah, so this is Kurt. The team would be operationalized, very small team,
mm-hmm.
call it a team, late in the fiscal year. So you'd probably see a larger amount for that in the following year, because we're only talking about some salary and not a full year, but it's envisioned to be a team of three.
Okay.
And they'd investigate issues in the DNS, such as addressing the DNAME problem, or to see if the root service can implement DNAME. One idea for a project is the deployment of a pilot Iris server. I'm sure you know me how Iris might be a replacement for the current Who Is.
Right, okay.
System. There's the investigation of various, I-4 exhaustion or completion scenarios. The of certain security tools such as RPKI. So really, I've always been... No. Wow, this is being recorded, huh? So, ICANN has been short in-house technical expertise, and so to take it out of that land and become a little more self-reliant in addressing some of the technical concerns or technical efforts that we think would benefit the DNS community.
Okay, well, I certainly think that is a very worthy endeavor for ICANN to be participating in. In terms of DNSSEC, and I guess the question of signing the root, and obviously there's uncertainty there, your planning, contingency planning for different possible scenarios, one of which I guess is that, IANA doing that, is that factored in here, and what do you see as a timeline there, and how is that worked into this plan, if at all?
Well, ICANN's been actually signing a version of the root zone for about a year, and so there's a budget built around. This isn't exactly my area, so I'm not going to be able to provide a lot of specificity. But included in the budget are the co-location facilities required to sign the root zone and maintain the key signing key and the zone signing keys. So anyway, that's included in the budget, and it's something we think we've scoped out fairly well, because we've been essentially signing a version of the root zone for several months, as I said. And that is all in anticipation of ICANN possibly signing the root zone. I don't think, the timing of that or who's going to do that is decided. And I think, several entities will get a vote in that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess that's more, really what my fundamental question is given the uncertainty, but the distinct possibility of that responsibility, just if that's factored into this piece of the budget.
Yeah, so, and just to supplement what Kurt was saying, there's in the financial assumptions under the capital budget, there's some dollars for there's some funds for business continuity and server backup and that sort of thing. I know that in the framework we didn't get specific on which servers and which colo facilities, but anyway, to allow for that, you know, whether it's the financial accounting system backup system or the DNS ops servers, we haven't been specific on that, and we probably can be a little bit more specific in describing that. But there is some cost for that business continuity area.
Okay. Okay. In the interest of time and respecting your time, it's just before 9 o'clock EST. We've been an hour now. I guess I would say, Leslie, do you have any questions that you wanted to ask before we wrap it up?
No, thank you very much. And
all
thank
good.
You everyone, everyone on the call.
And then, Kevin, appreciate you taking the time. And this is a work in progress, so hopefully next time we have a call like this, we'll again have a material increase in participation. I think it's been certainly very helpful for me. Hopefully there's been some value to yourselves as well. Any final comments?
I want to thank you both for joining the call, and thank Gabby and Bart for setting it up, and I wanted to encourage that more. If and Kurt, obviously, thank you for joining, especially handling the more detailed operational questions. Wanted to emphasize that if there is still time, so if there are other groups that just didn't make it on the call because of the bad time, I've communicated to Bart and Gabby that I'd be available when they're available. Given the short time frame, I'm happy to meet at odd hours of the day and night if
okay.
that helps.
And
wanted to encourage public posting. I don't know if this actual document was posted, but anything. I think the community appreciates the open dialogue. So I personally appreciated the direct comments. So that's great. I will go back to those in. But any public comments, wanted to encourage that as well. And then the CC revenue. You mentioned that you'd have some thoughts offline. So I'll give you a call on that this week as well, if you think that's appropriate. And Leslie, the more information we have to help us with the develop a strong budget with strong supported numbers, I think the better.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Did you release the additional information that we were nagging you about in Mexico on CC costs in the end? Bear with me, I've been slightly distracted on nominate matters.
The short answer is no, we haven't released it, but as I mentioned earlier, we were asked to supply that, and so that's
yeah.
the cost, that extra cost analysis work.
Yeah, you asked Kevin about how we can move this conversation forward. I mean, I see that as an excellent starting point for that conversation. It's
yeah.
quite difficult for us to make comment as requested on CC contributions. And likelihood of budget for that, or budgeted income for that this year, without kind of having that conversation and understanding the costs that CCs are driving, and therefore might hopefully feel some responsibility for picking up.
Yes, and so I'm expecting, especially after comments from our executive team this week, that
uh-huh.
we'll be able to post the CCIDN and support papers for that effort.
Excellent, thank you. I haven't missed it then. That's good.
yeah, that's exactly right.
Leslie, that's one of the, I think, just to reiterate what Kurt said, I think they're produced in the context of the IDN CCTLD effort.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
One question for follow-up and to have some more specific dates and see what happened so everybody's on the clear. The ICANN staff will now work on the, take the input and work on a draft operational plan to be published at or around 17 May. Is that correct, Kevin?
close. It's not at or around. The bylaws say by the 17th of May, so it's at or before.
Okay, so that's one. And what will happen afterwards? Again, a public comment period, or?
Yes, and it'll be open for a public comment period, and then the final, I guess, final draft is proposed for the Sydney meeting, and then presumably the board and the board finance committee, then the board would review that and pass it.
And then going back to, say, the public comment period on the 17th of May draft is open until 1 or 2 weeks before Sydney?
Yeah, we'll figure out a reasonable day and also be open for another round of conference calls if that's helpful.
Yeah, that is what I'm aiming at, or what I'm more or less, and this may be something for the SOP working group to look into, to use the next opportunity in that period of time, and we have now some more experience in how to organize it.
Yes, and as well as public comments in the Sydney meeting.
Yeah, okay, but to organize a next round and hopefully with more participation as from the 17th of May until early June.
Yes, excellent.
Is that something to aim for, but we take it offline, or that's something for the working group? But just to clarify the schedule. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, all. Have a good day.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.